Good evening, everyone, and a warm welcome. I think it's a service such as this, Maundy Thursday, is something which is, to me, is where we participate in something that our church does, that the church, Christ's church here on earth, universal, has done for centuries. And it kind of keeps us in touch with what has gone on for many, many years, going right back into the roots of Christianity. This service, Maundy Thursday, commemorates Jesus' Last Supper with his disciples in the upper room. It also commemorates the institution of the Lord's Supper. The old Latin name is Dies Mundatum, which is probably hopelessly pronounced, but there you go, that's what it looks like, which means the Day of the New Commandment. It is from the word mundatum that we get the word Maundy for Maundy Thursday. And in John chapter 13 and verse 34, Christ said to his disciples, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another." This is what we remember. When Jesus served the bread and wine, which became known as the Lord's Supper or the Last Supper or whatever you want to call it, he did so at the end of a meal which was called the Seder meal. The Seder meal, and that for the Israelites was the Passover meal. It was the symbolic meal that the Jews ate to commemorate God's actions in bringing them out of Egypt, known as the Exodus. And in Exodus 12:14, we read God's instructions to the Jewish people, to his people. "So this day shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance." That's how far back this goes, that which we are participating in this evening. The Seder meal is the Jewish Passover meal, and each item on the menu had symbolic meaning. I'm not going to go into all that now, but I can do at some stage if you want me to. What we do tonight is our remembrance of our Lord's Last Supper, and we do it because Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." Our call to worship is a responsive reading taken from Psalm 116. You will find in the bulletin, and I'll be very surprised if you don't find it on the screen as well. This is from Psalm 116. "I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications, because he has inclined his ear to me. Therefore I will call upon him as long as I live." Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints.
O Lord, truly I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord, now in the presence of all his people.
In the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem, praise the Lord. We stand and sing to God's glory the hymn 185, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross."
Thank you. The Old Testament reading this evening is from Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 to 14, the Passover and the festival of unleavened bread. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, "This month is to be for you the first month of your year. Tell a whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. If any household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share one with their nearest neighbor, having taken into account the number of people there are. You are to determine the amount of lamb needed in accordance with what each person will eat. The animals you choose must be year-old males without defect, and you may take them from the sheep or the goats. Take care of them until the 14th of the day of the month, when all the members of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lambs. That same night, they are to eat the meat roasted over the fire, along with bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. Do not eat the meat raw or boiled in water, but roasted over a fire, with the head, legs, and internal organs. Do not leave any of it till morning. If some is left till morning, you must burn it. This is how you are to eat it: with your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. On that same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn of both people and animals. I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. This is a day you are to commemorate for the generations to come. You shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance." In the reading this evening, the Last Supper comes from St. Luke chapter 22, verses 14 to 22. "When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, 'I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God.' After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, 'Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes.' And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. But the hand of him who is going to betray me is with mine on the table. The Son of Man will go as it has been decreed. But woe to that man who betrays him.'"
This week, which we call Holy Week, was the final week of Jesus' life here on earth. And on this night, which we commemorate now, they had the Last Supper in the upper room. And when we take communion, which we are about to take very shortly, symbolically we are joining with Christ and with his disciples in that Last Supper that they took. And after they had finished supper, they left that upper room and they went to the Garden of Gethsemane. And so symbolically we will do the same, we will go with them. And so when we have taken communion, we will be having communion where we take bread and dip it in the cup. And then we'll come round this way and we'll proceed to, symbolically, our Garden of Gethsemane. Our scripture readers will come through first and take up their places at the far end of the room. And as we have taken communion, we will follow them and take our seats in the Garden of Gethsemane. What we are doing is symbolic. But we go with Jesus and we go with his disciples. And so we start our time of communion with a prayer of confession, which we will say together It is in the bulletin and it is on the screen. And so we say together in unison this prayer of confession. Lord Jesus, we too have stood in the courtyard like Peter. We love you, yet we have stood at a distance. We have put our own conditions on the relationship we have with you. We have warmed ourselves at our enemy's fire, and it made us feel warm and comfortable. We cannot live without you. We ask your forgiveness. We come to you. We need your help every day to remind us that whatever we are asked to do, or wherever we are asked to go, that as your disciples, we must decide if this will enrich our relationship or cause it to deteriorate. We thank you for offering us your forgiveness. We thank you for your willingness to die in our place. We thank you for your loving presence that makes it possible for us to live our lives as forgiven children of God.
Almighty Father, whose dear Son, on the night before he suffered, instituted the sacrament of his body and blood, mercifully grant that we may receive it, thankfully in remembrance of Jesus Christ our Lord, who in these holy mysteries gives us a pledge of eternal life, and who now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, for ever and ever. Amen. The body of the Lord Jesus Christ. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Draw near in faith and take this holy sacrament to your good. Draw near in faith.
When the Lord Jesus took his disciples to the Garden of Gethsemane, we have symbolically lights shining, candles shining for each of the disciples, and one shining for the Lord Jesus Christ. And as the events unfolded, the lights of the disciples were extinguished. And that is what we are symbolically trying to achieve here this evening. So, as each reader reads their scripture reading, They will then extinguish one of the candles, and there will be a brief pause when we can reflect on what has just taken place.
Then one of the 12, the one called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and asked, "What are you willing to give me if I deliver him over to you?" So they counted out for him 30 pieces of silver. From then on, Judas watched for an opportunity to hand him over.
When evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12, and while they were eating, he said, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me." They were very sad and began to say to him, one after another, "Surely you don't mean me, Lord." Jesus replied, "The one who had dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me."
Then Jesus told them, "This very night you will all fall away on account of me, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.' But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." Peter replied, "Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will." "Truly I tell you," Jesus answered, "this very night, before the rooster crows, you will disown me 3 times." But Peter declared, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And all the other disciples said the same.
Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down, and prayed, "Father, if you are willing to take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." An angel from the heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And began in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. When he rose from prayer, he went back to his disciples and found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. "Why are you sleeping?" he asked them. "Get up and pray so you not fall into temptation."
Just as he was speaking, Judas, one of the 12, appeared. With him was a crowd armed with swords and clubs, sent from the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them. "The one that I kiss is the man. Arrest him and lead him away under guard." Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, "Rabbi," and kissed him. The men seized Jesus and arrested him.
Those standing near drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. "Am I leading a rebellion," said Jesus, "that you have come out with swords and clubs to capture me? Every day I was with you teaching in the temple court, and you did not arrest me, but the scriptures must be fulfilled." Then everyone deserted him and fled.
"What shall I do then with Jesus who is called the Messiah?" Pilate asked. They all answered, "Crucify him." "Why, what crime has he committed?" asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him." When Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but that instead an uproar was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd. "I am innocent of this man's blood," he said. "It is your responsibility." All the people answered, "His blood is on us and on our children."
After Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, and that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now that this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with glory I had with you before the world began."
My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is the truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be surely sanctified.
The soldiers led Jesus away into the palace and called together the whole company of soldiers. They put a purple robe on him, then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on him. And they began to call out to him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" Again and again they struck him on the head with a staff and spit on him. Falling on their knees, they paid homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him out to crucify him.
A certain man from Cyrene, Simon the father of Alexander and Rufus, was passing by on his way from the country, and they forced him to carry the cross. They brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. Then they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him. Dividing up his clothes, they cast lots to see what each would get. It was 9 a.m. when they crucified him. The written notice of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews."
At noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. And at 3 p.m, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing near heard this, they said, "Listen, he's calling Elijah." Someone ran, filled a sponge with wine vinegar, put it on a staff, and offered it to Jesus to drink. "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down," he said. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion, who stood there in front of Jesus, saw how he died, he said, "Surely this man was the Son of God."
Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "It is finished." And he died. Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and his light will never be extinguished. Christ's life of light is our passage from darkness in life to light in life. And for this we say thanks be to God. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, now and always. Amen. And that concludes our Maundy Thursday service. I'd like to thank each and every one of you for coming, and I'm sure that your participation in this time of worship will be of a tremendous help to you, especially over the next few days. Big thank you to our scripture readers tonight. We appreciate your help. Thank you so much. Thank you.